Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Monday, September the 21st. As we come off a pretty solid weekend of Phillies baseball, the Phillies take 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays, finishing out the weekend above 500 at 27-26. We'll look at the standings later. It's still incredibly close heading into this last weekend, week of baseball. It's crazy to think that this is the last week of the season. Sunday, the regular season ends. Obviously, if there could be tiebreakers needed or whatever, we will see. But playoffs coming soon. And the Phillies right now in a spot to be in the playoffs. But again, it's incredibly close. We'll get to it. But a very good weekend from a baseball perspective. There was a issue on Sunday with Bryce Harper and his back. We'll get to that, but hopefully nothing to be too concerned about. As I said, a good weekend of baseball for the Phillies. They, you know, after such a rough stretch, you know, we were pretty down in the dumps with this team over the last week and a half plus, as, you know, not only were they losing games, they were losing in a very, very painful way, and you know, consistently, you know, making us incredibly frustrated in the process. But ultimately, it was nice to see them get back on track a little bit over the weekend. And look, they're still dealing with a ton of injuries. They are still beat up. That is for sure, no question. But having said that, they also, were able to find a way to win 3 of 4 against a good Blue Jays team, a Blue Jays team that's a playoff team in the American League. So it was a good weekend of baseball. You know, it was a good weekend of baseball, and obviously a monster week coming up this week, as, again, we'll get to the standings. But, man, they're not close, if you know what I mean. They're very close. As, you know, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Cardinals, the Reds, the Giants all battling it out. As, it is very close for those final playoff spots. As the second place team in each division will get in. But then, there are two spots left, and that would have three teams left over. As the Padres are locked in as the second team in the West. So it's pretty intense, the whole how it all shakes out. We'll obviously take a look at that. But first, let's look at the weekend of baseball. As again, the Phillies able to bounce back, as really had really been playing some disappointing baseball, obviously, prior to the weekend, as we all know. And, you know, the shows last week were certainly a frustrating thing to do. But, again, getting back on track, nice to see them win some baseball games. Let's go to Friday, where for the first time this season, for a team that has played a boatload of doubleheaders, seemingly far too many doubleheaders, one could say, just a massive amount of doubleheaders, and played poor baseball for the most part in the doubleheaders. They get back on track, doubleheader-wise, sweeping their first doubleheader of the season, and they get it going in game one, making it look nice and easy, a 7-0 victory. Zach Eflin, his best start of the season. Eflin goes 7 innings, a complete game, in quotes, Four hits, nine strikeouts for Eflin, two walks. Got into a bit of a jam in the seventh, but able to get out of it. 92 pitches through seven innings for the quote-unquote, again, complete game. The bats get going in this one. Didi Gregorius, an RBI double. Bryce Harper, a home run, two-run shot in the fifth. Phil Gosselin, an RBI single in the fifth. Andrew Knapp, a triple in the fifth. And then Alec Boehm added an RBI single in the sixth as the Phillies just really handled Robbie Ray and the Blue Jays bullpen in this game. They tag Ray up for five earned runs and four and a third, and they hit to Hatch as well. And able to shut down the Blue Jays. This the story of this one, obviously, the bats get going. As I said, the Harper homer again, nice to see as he's been hotter, though, obviously, as we'll talk about, you know, the back thing, a little concerning. But Alec Boehm, another great game, two for three here with that RBI hit. Didi Gregorius, three for four in this one. Phil Gosselin, two for four. The bats show up in this one, which was nice to see them back Eflin there. But Eflin definitely the star of the show, as Eflin was just outstanding in that first game of the doubleheader. Again, against a good Blue Jays lineup, a playoff-type lineup, you know, a team that's going to play in the playoffs. So it was nice to see Eflin go out and dominate like that, and he really did. He looked great. It was really impressive to watch. And then game two, a little bit more of a nail-biter, you might say. Maybe that's because the Phillies had to go with the bullpen game. David Hale, your starter. This one was a back-and-forth one. 8-7 is the final score as the Phillies able to just notch out on top. They get ahead early. Didi and RBI single in the first. Then McCutchen smashes one to right in the third inning to make it 2-0. Then a Teoscar homer, and then starts it off for the Blue Jays in a massive fourth inning as they put up five runs in the fourth inning off of David Hale and JoJo Romero. JoJo struggled. Worst appearance we've seen from JoJo. JoJo comes in, only gets one out, gives up three earned runs, three hits, just didn't have it. Weird to see. We've trusted JoJo so much. Weird to see. David Phelps comes in and gets him out of the inning. Then the Phillies come back out the next inning, and you know, you're starting to feel pretty bummed because it's 5-2 after the fourth. But then we get to the bottom of the fourth, and the unlikeliest of things happens. With runners on, Rafael Marchand, his first career home run. He had had, I believe it was like 816 or 826 at-bats in the minors. Never hit a home run there before, and yet in his fourth major league at-bat, boom, a huge three-run homer too. Massive, makes the game 5-5, makes you back in it, a massive one. As again, we did not see JT Realmuto this weekend. We're hoping we see him soon. Back at it tonight against the Nats at 6-5. We'll talk about that later. But Rafael Marchand, 2-for-3 in this one with that big three-run homer. He would score another run later. It was a massive hit. Massive. Just awesome. Makes it 5-5 there in the fourth. Unfortunately, Heath Embry, the bane of our existence. Just a disaster since he's been here. Heath Embry with a ERA. Get this. Heath Embry's ERA is 10-13. He has a ERA that is in the four digits. You don't see that too often. Wow. Wow, that's so bad. Gives up two runs. So we head into the sixth, trailing 7-5. Bottom of the sixth. You know, you're starting to feel it. The bullpen, of course, in a bullpen game, just crushing your soul. Connor Brogdon came in there and got a couple outs to get out of the inning. He would pitch another inning clean, and then Hector Neris comes in the ninth and scares you a little bit, but gets the job done. But the Phillies in the bottom of the sixth, Bryce Harper, a massive two-run double to make it 7-7, tying it up, and then Harper manufactures another run. Alec Boehm singled to right, and then on throwing error, Harper is able to scamper around and score what would be the winning run. They win 8-7. Hector Neris comes in and is able to shut it down is probably not the phrase. He did give up two walks, but he gets the job done. And the Phillies come away with a much, much, much needed win, a much needed sweep there of the Blue Jays after that just again horrific series prior. It was awesome and needed. And look, I've been kind of out frustration wise with this team after what we had seen for the last week and a half prior, and just been so bummed with this team. Just so incredibly frustrating. The Marlins, the Mets, all these games that are just bummers, where they really had chances and kind of let the season slip away, it felt like, but they battle back. They win the two on Friday. Huge. Then they come back on Saturday. Can they do it? Can they win three games in a row? Has not been something we've seen since that 10 of 11 streak. They come back on Saturday, and they win it 3-1 in a really well-played game by the Philadelphia Phillies. And guess what? Vinny Velasquez, thank you, sir. Vincent Velasquez was outstanding. Velasquez, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, only 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 walks, did his job. Great job from Velasquez. The bullpen shuts it down from there. Blake Parker, David Phelps, Tommy Hunter gets the save. How about that? As they, after Nero's pitches in the first game, as they shut it down. It was really nice to see. It was easy. 3-1. The Phillies go down 1-0 in the fifth as Travis Shaw kind of goes down and just golfs one off of Vinny and just kind of golfs it out of the ballpark. Made it 1-0, but the Phillies answer back immediately the bottom of the fifth. Who else but Mr. Clutch, it appears. Andrew Knapp, RBI single, makes it 1-1, and then Andrew McCutchen would single Knapp home a couple batters later, and it was 2-1 Phillies. Then in the eighth, Adam Haseley, an infield single, would score another run as Haseley continues to hit two. 2 hits in this one, bang, 308 after this one. Knapp, 2 hits in this one, bang, 321 after this one. Man, they were getting the bats going, especially the bottom of the order stuff. The Phillies win it 3-1, which was really good to see again as they, you know, kind of able to carry on a little momentum. Now, granted, they did lose yesterday. We'll get in that game in a sec, but it was nice to see this 3-game winning streak after what a disastrous stretch of baseball they had played. You know, it really was something we needed to see. We needed to see them bounce back in some way, especially with the chance to get into the playoffs, you know, kind of looming. And again, it was just such a disappointing stretch of baseball that they played. The losses, you know, against the Mets and against the Marlins, losing 5 of 7 against the Marlins, a couple of those just gut punches. And then the Mets series, losing those last two games, both of those just total gut punch losses, ones where it just felt like, you know, this isn't a good team. That was kind of what it felt like. It felt like, all right, this is going to be hard to invest in this team being a playoff team because they're not good. And the bullpen just continues to every time just disappoint and break our hearts, and it will continue to. But it was nice to see them rebound a little bit because, again, it was a very, very, very tough stretch of baseball and tough for us as fans to kind of comprehend the team that won 10 of 11 just kind of cratering. And I know injuries have been a big part of it, and we'll talk about that in a second with Harper. But it's been it was nice to see them win 3 straight. They came out yesterday and lost, again, shorthanded. It's tough. You know, that's kind of the other issue as we're talking about the playoffs and preparing for it. But they come in. They have to bring Adonis Medina up for his first ever career start as, you know, they are shorthanded yet again. The Arrieta injury, well, you know, we joke about never wanting to see him pitch again with the Phillies. And I, again, I'm of that mind that I'm not going to miss him when he leaves, obviously. But having said that, you know, it does highlight how thin they are at starting pitcher, and you know, especially with Howard out, and then you have to bring up Medina. You know, he's okay, 4 innings, 2 earned, but not ideal. And then the bullpen gets to work after that because Heath Embry, 1 inning and a third, 4 earned runs. My man is horrendous. He's so bad. I can't stand Heath Embry. Connor Brogdon pitches well. Adam Morton pitches well. Didi Gregorius, RBI double in there. Bohm, an RBI single later. Just a 2 RBI single. Just a bummer of a game. You know, didn't really have it. The biggest news from this one, they lose. It's okay. They went, you know, they took 3 of 4. That's what they had to do. The biggest news from this one is that Bryce Harper leaves in the 7th inning with back stiffness and back tightness. And, you know, it's not ideal. As, again, this team, as we sit here on the precipice of the playoffs, 1 week to go, seven games left, four against the Nationals who are beatable and three against the Rays who are great, but also, you know, don't have much to play for, as it could look like seeding is all sewn up and all that by the time they get there. So who knows how this will play out, but it is tight. It is tight there for the Phillies. It is a tight contest here. And they are beat up, man. Losing Harper, if they lose Harper for any extended period of time, they're in a lot of trouble. You know, that is not good for this team. As they, you know, Harper, it does feel like Harper's been playing a little beat up, to be honest. So maybe this is something that he's been dealing with already. Because he did kind of pull himself out of the game, which, you know, you don't see from Bryce Harper very often. It was actually surprising that that happened. But Harper leaves. They can't really afford to be without him for too long. This team is already beat up enough. You know, Rhys Hoskins, again, as we've talked about, I wouldn't expect him to be back this season. Spencer Howard won't be. It doesn't look like Jake Arrieta will, unless it's for the playoffs. And, you know, come on. So, you know, they're pretty beat up, and it's going to be tough for them to rebound from this and certainly to do well in a playoff series, especially when they have such a disastrous bullpen, you know, as we've talked about. And, God, the fact that Heath Hembree is still pitching in any sort of meaningful spot at all is a disaster. I mean, this guy's a mess. He's horrible. Heath Hembree's horrible, and Brandon Workman's horrible. I mean, the guys they traded for are so bad. It's such a disaster. Phelps has had a couple good outings in a row. Yay. But it is just, it's a shame. It's a shame. And look, I think that, you know, where they are, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. And then, obviously, if they can make the playoffs, if they can turn that into anything there, you know, but with all the injuries, it just seems like it's going to be a tough ask of this team, you know, to really make anything of it without Rhys Hoskins, without Spencer Howard, without potentially without Bryce Harper, if not with a beat up Bryce Harper. They're still without J.D. Romito right now, and, you know, we've been told day to day, but he's still out. Hopefully he's back soon, and even if he is back, can he contribute right away the way he was able to? They're just beat up right now. You know, they're in a tough spot, and they're not great. You know, they're an okay team with a horrible, horrible, horrible bullpen, just a disastrous bullpen. And then, you know, the thing that they have going for it is this, you know, legit lineup that hits every night and manufactures runs and maybe could, you know, kind of carry you at times in a playoff series if they get really hot. You know, you lose Hoskins, you lose Harper, JT's not 100%, like, who knows, like, you know, it really sucks it out of it. And again, I do think that, look, even though, you know, they don't have, you know, they're a little banged up and that's how they do still have some guys you feel really great about, especially heading into next season. You know, Alec Bohm, what a star, what a stud. And he'd be good in the playoffs. I'm excited about that. Adam Haseley continues to hit, batting over 300 still, I believe. Like, he's been really good and hitting lefties a little bit. And, you know, this is, I think, important that you, these young guys are getting a shot to get these opportunities. So that is a good thing, at least a silver lining of it, of some of the injuries and all that type of stuff. But they're in trouble from a this season perspective, just with all the guys they've lost and the teams are going to compete with. Speaking of teams are going to compete with, and you look at the standings, it is, again, as I mentioned before, like, razor thin tight heading into the last week of the season. As right now, the Braves look like a lock to win the NL East at 31-22. They're three games up on the Marlins, four on the Phillies. The Chicago Cubs look like a lock to win the Central. They're 31-21, four games up on the Cardinals, who are 26-24. And then the Dodgers are locked to win the West at 38-16. And the Padres are locked to come in second in the West at 34-20. So we have our top four seeds locked in. And right now it would be Dodgers 1, Cubs 2, Braves 3, Padres 4. But that's pretty close between the Cubs and Braves. And obviously the Padres will be the four seed no matter what. Then Right now, the 5 seed would be the Cardinals at 26-24, it would be the Marlins at 28-25. They are a game better than the Phillies. Then it would be the Cardinals as the 5 seed at 26-24. As the 6 seed at 26-24, which leaves 2 spots left. Now that's where it gets interesting. Right now, the Phillies would get that first spot. They are 27-26, so they would be the 7 seed as of right now. And the 8 seed would be a tie between the Reds and the Giants, who are both 500. The Reds are 27-27, which means that they have played one more game than the Phillies, and they lost it. And the Giants have played one less game than the Phillies. They have lost as many as the Phillies. So if they won their extra game, they would be tied with the Phillies. So it is crazy, crazy close. Essentially, a half game separates these three teams for two of the three making it. Two of the three will make the playoffs. One will not. And again, look, the Cardinals are right there. They're only a game up on the Phillies. And half game up on the Phillies and a game up on the Reds. And the Marlins are only a game up on the Phillies. So, look, a lot can happen this week. It's a really massive week for a lot of these teams, but it's gonna be a fight down to the finish, especially because a lot of these teams are not playing each other, which would have helped the Phillies cement it. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a really interesting race down the end here. As again, look, the Phillies are in right now, but it's close. And there's a team that had a 90% almost, probability to make it so recently, it feels like. And now it's really teetering, and they need a good last week. And, they need some health. They need some luck. And they need the Nationals, who are not going to make the playoffs, to not want to play spoiler and go after them hard, as is a big series coming up, and then the Rays again after that. But it is going to be a tight race for the Phillies here. They are, again, it felt like there was a time where they were locked to make the playoffs, and now they're not. One of these three teams won't make it. Really, one of those four or five. I mean, the Marlins and the Cards look like they're in pretty good shape, particularly the Marlins. But the Phillies, the Giants, the Reds, one of those teams isn't going to make it. It would be my guess. And, that's scary as a Phillies fan, but it's also exciting as it's going to be a really fun last week of baseball. Certainly, with the way the last two seasons have gone, the Gabe years where they kind of collapsed down the stretch, both those years, this is really truly, and again, it's expanded playoffs, it's a shortened season and all these caveats, an asterisk season and a sham season, whatever you want to call it, but just on a holistic level, this is the first time in a long time that we are heading into the last week of September, the last week of baseball season, and the Phillies are in a playoff spot. And I know that it's a weird way to get there and a weird season and a lot of playoff spots and all this stuff, unique and new and all that, but facts are facts. And this is the first time that we've gotten into this last week as a playoff spot holder and a chance to make the playoffs. And it's exciting. At least it'll be fun to watch these Phillies games down the stretch. It'll be fun to pay attention to this team. Like, again, even though I don't think they have any chance to make any noise whatsoever in the playoffs, the way they've been ravaged by injuries and, more importantly, the way their bullpen pitches and how bad it is, it'd still be fun to watch them in the playoffs in prime time or in the afternoon or whatever it is and see them play some playoff baseball and see what happens. Like, that'll be fun, and we should appreciate it. And it's not maybe how we wanted them to finally make the playoffs again, but nothing's how we want it in 2020, right? It's this is the year of not getting things the way we want and having to deal with horrible, terrible things that we don't want to deal with. So this is a much nothing close to the horrible, terrible things we've dealt with this year. So, let's enjoy the Phillies making the playoffs if they can in a year where, not a lot of things have been fun. All right. Tonight, they get back at it. Huge series coming up with the Nationals. We'll see if the Nationals try and play spoiler or not. 6:05 tonight, Zach Wheeler against Anibal Sanchez. You love that matchup. And then you got Aaron Nola against Austin Voth tomorrow. You love that, too. Doubleheader tomorrow, as they have a 3:05 and a 6:05. And then on Wednesday, Eflin against Eric Fetty in that one. Then they will have an off day, which is nice. That's why they're doing the double header on Tuesday. I guess both teams want an off day, especially because the playoffs start right away very quickly, and there are no off days in the playoffs, so get them while you can. Off day Thursday, then the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. So it's going to be huge. It's exciting. The Phillies have a real chance to make the playoffs. So let's go. All right. Go Phillies tonight. We'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Until then, everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. And thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.